In a world darkened by the fall, we all need light for our daily path. Psalm 119 tells us where to find that light. The psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The word, the Bible, gives us light, and that's good news. The good news of Jesus Christ is what we need each and every day. This is Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. It's great that you've joined us again this afternoon as we search the Scriptures together, having our path illuminated by God's Word. Here's your host this afternoon, Pastor Wes Bradenhoff.
Well, good afternoon to you. Welcome to another edition of Gospel Talk. This week on Gospel Talk, we're considering 1 Samuel 24 and the account of David and Saul found in that chapter. And what the Word of God shows to us in that chapter is the path to the throne. We began on Monday by considering the fact that God promises a throne to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. And in this chapter in 1 Samuel 24, we find what that path looks like. And we saw yesterday that that path is not exactly what people expect. When we contrasted yesterday a theology of glory with a theology of the cross. And today, what a lot of people want, what a lot of people appreciate, is a theology of glory, even among people who call themselves Christians. You know, we considered yesterday the saying of the church father Tertullian. Tertullian said, "Every sin is to be ascribed to impatience." Every sin is to be ascribed to impatience. And if you reflect on that for any length of time, you'd soon discover that that is, in fact, a biblical teaching. We want it all, and we want it now. That's what rests in our sinful human nature, the remnants of our old nature. That's what our old nature tells us. You deserve it. You should have everything now. And that holds true for little things, but it also holds true for very important things. Now, I mentioned a moment ago, theology of glory and a theology of the cross. Well, that distinction originates with Martin Luther, great reformer of the 16th century. Without Martin Luther, perhaps many of us wouldn't even be Protestants, wouldn't even have left the Roman Catholic Church. Martin Luther and his struggles with the Roman Catholic Church contrasted a theology of glory with a theology of the cross. And a theology of glory basically says, you get glory now, in this life. You get the blessings you get the bling. You get all of the riches. You get all the material things. That's what God wants you to have now, in this life. Well, we know that there are people who are saying those very things. The health and wealth, so-called gospel, prosperity, so-called gospel, that's what they're teaching. But that is not a biblical teaching. That is a false teaching, friends. Theology of glory is a false teaching. Martin Luther said, what the Bible teaches us is a theology of the cross. And you know, Martin Luther was right. Christ's way to the throne is a theology of the cross. It's through humility and suffering to glory. And we saw that in this account of King David as well. He goes through all of this suffering on his way to the throne. He doesn't get the throne just like that. God just doesn't drop the throne out of the sky and say, here, David, get on the throne. He has to go through all the suffering. He has to be hunted and chased down by King Saul. And that pointed ahead to Christ and Christ's path to the throne. Christ, too, through suffering to glory, through humility to glory. The way up is the way down. The last shall be first. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus told us to take up our crosses and follow him. He warned us that the way which leads to life, he didn't say that it would be easy and that it would be all roses. He said it would be difficult. The apostles understood that. In the book of Acts, they said, we enter the kingdom of God through many tribulations. We enter the kingdom of God through many tribulations. And there will always be temptations to take the shortcut. And that's why we constantly need to have our attention directed to Christ. We need to look to him in faith. We need to live out of our union with him. You know, through faith and through the Holy Spirit, we are united to Christ. We are grafted into him. And he is the vine and we are the branches. And as we are in union with him, we have to resist this temptation to seize glory in this life, to take the shortcuts, to listen to the lies of the health and wealth and prosperity movements. Instead, look to Christ and follow his path. And that's what we see here in 1 Samuel 24 with David and Saul. You know, as we go back to this passage, we saw David, he was tempted to kill Saul. He resisted that temptation. Well, now, as we continue looking at that passage, David follows Saul out of the cave and he calls out to him there in 1 Samuel 24. And he says, "My Lord, O King." And Saul looks behind him and no doubt he was shocked to see David stretched out on the ground, prostrate. Prostrate. Moment ago, Saul was vulnerable. He was taking a bathroom break. He didn't intend to be vulnerable, but he was. Now, David makes himself vulnerable in front of Saul. At that point, Saul could easily have killed him, but he doesn't. He gives David the opportunity to speak, and David begins with a question. He says, "Why? Why, Saul, do you listen to the people who are telling you that I have it in for you? God gave you into my hands today in the cave. There were voices telling me to go ahead and kill you, but I resisted. I resisted because you are the anointed of the Lord. And look, I have in my hand the corner of your robe to prove how close you were to death. But I didn't do it. I'm not guilty of any wrongdoing against you. Saul, you've been hunting me down, but I trust that God will be the judge between us. I'll never harm you, because that ancient proverb was right. Evil deeds proceed from evil men." So David said. And then in verses 14 and 15 of 1 Samuel 24, he puts the question again to Saul. He says, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why are you persecuting me? I'm like a dead dog or a single flea. I've never shown any intention to hurt you. May God judge. May God vindicate. May God deliver me from your hand." And in these words of David, we hear righteousness. We hear a desire to loyally follow God's law. And where does this come from? Where does this desire come from? Well, David trusted in God's promises. And you know, for an Old Testament believer to trust in God's promises, that was the same thing as trusting in Jesus Christ is today. Because those promises were leading to Jesus Christ, pointing ahead to him. David lived out of faith. David was filled with God's Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, he was united to Christ by faith. And the Spirit, through the Spirit, David did what was right here. And he spoke these words of truth and righteousness. David knows that the path to the throne of glory is strewn with temptation, that it's traveled through humility and suffering, but also it must be traveled through righteousness, through Spirit-wrought righteousness, through righteousness worked by the Holy Spirit. And that is exemplified, again, most powerfully in Christ's ministry on earth. He was the perfectly righteous man who lived righteousness, and he spoke righteousness. Jesus Christ was the one who was publicly vindicated by his Father. At his baptism at the Jordan River, when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, the voice was heard, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And at his transfiguration, Peter, James, and John were there. And they heard God say it again, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." This was and this is a perfectly righteous Savior. You know, Saul pursued David. Saul pursued David there in the Old Testament, about 1,000 years before Christ. And he did that for no good reason. Now, Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. And years later, about 1,000 years later, another Saul would be born in the tribe of Benjamin. And like his forefather with David, Saul of Tarsus would persecute the son of David. And he would do that for no good reason. He simply had a mad obsession to destroy Christ, to destroy his message, to destroy his followers. And Jesus would stop Saul on the road to Damascus and echo the words of David, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" But unlike Saul, the son of Kish, Saul of Tarsus came to recognize the kingship of Jesus, and he submitted to it. The great son of David poured out amazing blessings of salvation on that Saul. Through God's powerful spirit, through his word, Saul became Paul, the Christian, and Paul, the apostle. And he became a mighty instrument in God's hand, became a mighty instrument to preach the gospel, to extend his church throughout the Roman world. And Paul, what happened to him? Well, he in turn became one of the persecuted. Like in 1 Samuel 24, the hunter became the hunted. He entered into the sufferings of Jesus, and he traveled the same path to the throne. Remember, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of heaven. Paul did that, and he did that with sin and weakness. He did it also in the righteousness of Jesus, which bore the fruit of righteousness in his own life. And so it will also be in the lives of everyone who believes in Christ. Looking to Christ and his perfect righteousness means that our lives will also bear the fruit of righteousness too. And that's because of our union with him once again, our being joined to him through the Holy Spirit and through faith. Well, we're going to continue looking at that tomorrow. We'll conclude this look at 1 Samuel 24. If you have any questions about anything you've heard on the program today, why don't you drop me a note? My email address, gospeltalk@hotmail.com. gospeltalk@hotmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. So I hope you'll join me again tomorrow, and until then, may God continue to richly bless you with his Spirit and his word.
This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. Our goal here at Gospel Talk is to faithfully preach the gospel in season and out of season. That's also the goal of the Cloverdale Canadian Reformed Church. This program comes to you today through their generous support. You can find the Cloverdale Canadian Reformed Church at 17473 60th Avenue in Cloverdale. That's just off 176th Street. Sunday worship times are 9:30 a.m. and 2 p.m. Guests are always welcome. You can find more information about the Cloverdale Canadian Reformed Church at our website, www.cloverdale.canrc.org. That website again, www.cloverdale.canrc.org. You can also write us for more information, or if you have questions about anything you've heard today, write to Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, BC. The postal code V2Z1B3. That address again, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, BC. V2Z1B3. You can also call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. Email us at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. Thanks for listening today. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. We invite you to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:30 here on KARI for more biblical instruction with Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. Abounding Grace can be heard Monday to Friday at 8:30 a.m.